Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS. HTS is your local technology expert. Serving Delaware for 16 years, Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automation, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit them at htsav.net. 321. Patrick Gallagher, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Tom? How are you?
Great. Great in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And alive.
Hey, as long as we're healthy and alive, that's all that matters.
Well, good morning. Thanks for coming on. I know, you know, this is an odd time. It's funny, I pulled up to this place and there anybody here. You know, all the restaurants are closed.
Yeah.
Plenty of places to park all of a sudden.
Traffic is not an issue.
Traffic is not an issue.
I was still a little late, though, so.
That's all right. We've got nothing going on. So, good morning. We are, I don't even know if we're in quarantine, self-quarantine, but we are in the middle of this coronavirus, COVID-19 world dilemma. And it's interesting.
Yeah, unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
I'd say. I was talking to my dad yesterday, like trying to compare it to any historical reference, and I just couldn't think of anything.
You know, I would think if I could maybe compare it to maybe when we had a gas shortage.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we all were affected. I remember how old are you?
I'm 25.
You were not alive.
Almost 26.
Yeah, you weren't alive, but there was a time.
Yeah.
It's a shame that I remember this because I'm 50s.
During the Gulf War, right?
No.
Oh, older.
No, not even the Gulf War. I was a little kid. I remember gas was like 89 cents a gallon. And they had some dispute in the Middle East, and we had a gas shortage. And I think they were actually like, I think certain people could go on Mondays, certain people had to go on Tuesdays. It was very, I was such a little kid, though. I was unaffected emotionally, but I definitely remember it. And that's kind of maybe the only thing I can compare it to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, especially with the outlook, you know, how long they're thinking about these things lasting. I think that's the hard thing. I feel like a lot of references kind of last for 2 weeks and then fizzle out. But this is seeming like we're in for
it's going strong.
A little long haul.
Well, I ran with a friend of mine this morning, and it's kind of getting into that place where now we've heard so much, we've all become sort of like experts.
Oh, yeah.
And him and I almost got into it, an argument on while we were running. You know, this thing that we do that usually is about humility and sharing time together and just enjoying the, you know, the outdoors and, you know, doing something that not many people do, at least not at 6 in the morning. You know, that's always our thing. I don't see anybody else out here. but, you know, it brought us to almost getting a little bit into fisticuffs over it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, it is, and I think it's just because everybody's an expert now, right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, but that's not what's important today, is it, Pat?
I mean,
today what's important is you.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Well, listen.
I'm blushing.
You know, you've been on the podcast before.
I think this is my third
time. Yeah, your third time. We were on with Project Kudos.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
That absolutely. Awesome. And really thank you because, and it's funny, we're getting ready to come up on my first year of podcasting.
Wow. Congrats.
And you guys, Project Kudos and Alyssa and you came on and I said that right, Alyssa, right?
Alyssa.
Bully.
Spelled Alyssa.
Right. It tricked me.
Yeah.
You guys were nice enough to come on my podcast early in the very beginning, really not knowing what you were to expect. And
yeah. We were more than happy to.
Yeah, and it was great. So thank you. And then we brought you back because you're just super cool.
Yeah, I think we talked with Carlos for
did
a
we go
while.
Did we go Pearl Jam?
Yeah, lots of Pearl Jam.
Nice.
Talk, which I was kind of out of my element at that point.
That's all right. Listen, we're taking newbies.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
It's okay.
And then now you're back because you got something new going on.
I do. Yeah. Yep.
Is that the name of it?
Overview Creative Services.
Overview Creative Service. Can I tell you right now, this sticker is pretty freaking sweet.
Thank you.
I'll post a picture of it.
Sticker Giant. They actually did all the Project Kudos stickers when we did that. They're a company out of Colorado. I'm not sure if it's Boulder or Denver, but great company, great customer service, just really cool culture. And so I knew when I did my own stickers that that's who I wanted to go with, and they did a great job.
Well, is it the way they make them? Because it's definitely kind of a matte finish. Is that, or is it just,
I mean, they have
your design?
All those options. I went with the matte finish.
It's beautiful.
Graphic designer friend of mine put the logo together last year, almost a year ago, when I was first starting to do this on the side while I was still at Shell. And, yeah, I really love the logo.
So you mentioned that while you were at Shell, so you left Big Daddy?
In December, yeah.
What was that like? Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah. It was nerve-wracking.
Well, this podcast was really about that story, that moment where, you know, you decide
sure
you want to do something
terrifying,
and you take that step from the couch to the frying pan, and that's always the message that this podcast has been about, is for those people. And I told you this probably before, and I'll say it again, you know, my buddy Matt said, you know, either shut up and he didn't really say it like that, but he said either shut up or go start a business.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was at. I mean, that was the only job I've ever had, real job. Mm. I, you know, interned there between my junior and senior year of college in the summer. And then before I graduated my senior year, they said, hey, come work for us. So I had been there, you know, my entire quote-unquote professional career.
Yeah.
And it was
not a bad start.
No, it was a great start. And I owe a lot to Chris and that company, and learned a ton, had a ton of fun. I was just ready to do my own thing and be my own boss.
Do you think there's a difference? I mean, I know you're young, and, you know, we learn a lot of this as we grow, but, you know, there's money, and then there's happiness. Sometimes, luckily, sometimes you can hit it, you know. Sometimes you can figure out how to make a nice living and be super happy. But a lot of the times, you know, we're doing something, always having that some other passion maybe in our back pocket, thinking about it. But we stay in it because of the money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes we have to take the leap and we do something different that may not create as much money early. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one day it does, but it's also about serenity and being happy and doing something that you love.
Yeah, and I think for me it was more of the control over making that money.
Mm.
You know, there,
I like that.
I'm going to get my paycheck. I have that security. I have that safety blanket, really. I know that company is going to take care of me because they're a great company to work for. But if I really want to make, you know, substantial living for myself and go out and make, you know, a ton of money or however much money I want, it's all on me now. It's all on my hard work. It's all on me staying up until, you know, 1 a.m, you know, writing ads and doing stuff like that. So I think that's given me a lot of mental clarity is being able to say, it's all on me. If I screw up, I'm not making money. If I do a really good job, I'm making more money. Right. So that's great.
Well, I think that also and we'll talk about your business. You're getting into a business, to me, that is right on the cutting edge. You know, it's almost now, 2 years ago, maybe wasn't as important. You know,
sure.
I'll just talk, you know, my buddies right down the walkway here at Titanic Pizza. They opened a pizza place. Food's terrific. And I'm like, well, where's your Facebook? And he's like, oh, we're not concerned with Facebook. I'm like, man, you might have got away with that a few years ago, but you can't now.
Yeah.
We have all become programmed to, or I should say I've become programmed to, that like if I find something I really love, I take a picture of it.
Sure.
And then I post it.
Sure.
And I tag them.
Sure.
And I tag my friends. And if they don't have a Facebook, or if a company or business doesn't have a Facebook or even an Instagram, you can't tag them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, when people are learning about a business, that's where I usually will go see if they have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, your company that you're doing is really about helping people like that learn how to use that ability to really get the word out through social media.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I focus on, and something that might be a little bit different with my company, is we're going to do it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a business owner, if you're running a pizzeria, you have so many things to think about, you know, the orders coming in, you're worried about the margins. you're worried about your employees. You're worried about your hours. You're worried about what's going on right now with this, you know, pandemic. So we want to take that off of your plate and really be your marketing director that you don't have full time. We charge a monthly fee. You come in, you say, hey, here's the things that I need. Here's the things that I want. And we just kind of run the show for you. If you have questions, you call me, you text me, you email me. I'm here for you. I'm just not on your payroll. I'm not a salaried employee.
Right.
I'm kind of an outside contractor that acts like I'm your marketing director.
Well, without giving all your secrets away.
Sure.
I mean, because honestly, there's no secret.
There's no secret.
It's just, you know, it's just the grind.
If you spend enough time on, like, YouTube, like I do, or reading articles, or if you really stay on top of it, you can do what I do. It's not, you know, there's no secrets.
It's just the grind.
It's the grind, and it's practice makes perfect.
Yep.
Right.
Well, it's funny because I have now 8 Instagram accounts. Hey, I just added another one.
That's insane.
And, well, but they're all podcasts. They're sure. all part of the podcast network. So, you know, and I have to, you know, when I do like this podcast, I'm going to have to promote this podcast on another podcast. You know, I have to have all these different places to send it to.
Yeah.
I can't just have like the RoboSocial podcast and then send it to the RoboSocial podcast. I've got to send it over to Full Send, and then Full Send's got to send it. So, especially when we were doing the Delaware Live Music, I would really have to get into a lot of tagging and hashtagging and stuff. And I would be pretty spent.
It's a pain. And I'll be honest with you. I hate social media myself. I don't do it myself. Right. I don't like doing organic social media myself.
Right.
I'm more on the paid side, you know. I think that's really fun. I think it's a cool game to play. Targeting, you know, your audiences and your demographics with effective ads. I think it's a super fun game to play.
Yep.
That daily posting and tagging and hashtagging and, you know, staying relevant, I let other people handle that stuff.
For you?
For my clients as well.
Oh, so you don't post daily for your clients?
No.
Okay.
So I have my sister actually is she lives in Manhattan. She works for a company called WealthX, and you know does a lot of their event planning as well as their social media. So basically, if a client is interested in organic social media management, she's great at tagging and all those millennial tricks and trades.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really focused more on the paid advertising side. You know, those ads you see in your Facebook feed,
mm-hmm.
search ads on Google, display ads on Google, anything that, you know, makes your money work for you, targeting the right demographics.
Yeah, that's interesting because I would think, I guess, you know, there was a time where, you know, we just kind of, you know, our social life and our business life kind of bled together, but it's really about separating the two.
I think that makes sense for most people.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, you mentioned you had boosted posts before.
Yep.
And that's really a simplified way of advertising on Facebook. If you go into an ad creation, you'd be overwhelmed with all the options and demographic targeting and audiences and tracking codes that you can put on. So if somebody visits your website, you can retarget them later down the road. That's really what I want to take off of the owner's plate, because I see a lot of businesses that have tried to do that and their targeting is screwed up.
Yeah.
There's no reason that I should be seeing ads for, you know, $500,000 homes in my feed.
Right.
They should be targeting, you know, people that are 35, 45 or older and, live in a certain area. Maybe they're from DC or, you know, New York. These are the kind of the things you have to think about before going in and creating these campaigns. It's not just a matter of adding, you know, $50 and praying for the best.
Well, you can see where there's some screw-ups and all that shit. Because honestly, you know, like I'll buy something and then that starts popping up in my feed. Like I've purchased it. I bought it. There was these UA earbuds that I bought.
Sure.
Ultimate Ears or I forget what they were called. I mean, I still have them. They're actually great. But I bought them, and then they're just full of my feed now. I'm like, dude, I bought them things. Why?
Yeah. It's probably a messed up tracking code, you know.
A messed up track. I mean, it happens all the time. I bought like the shirt. Now they get ads for the shirt. It's just, and I don't know why $1 million homes are in my feed. I'm not buying a $1 million home.
Yeah. And I mean, it is tough, especially with the housing market now. They restricted advertising. You can't advertise based on income range. So that kind of limited a lot of the possibilities with advertising for home sales. Is you kind of have to select an age, an interest base, location, and hope for the best. You can no longer say, I want a household that makes 100K or more a year. So that definitely did limit the housing market. But in terms of other businesses, you still can target income range.
Yeah. The we were talking a little bit prior to starting. I'm like, no, we need to do this on the podcast. But Facebook, you said that right now Facebook's struggling a little bit due to this pandemic that they had to send a lot of people home. Because I did a podcast and posted it the other day, and they blocked it. They said it was against their
policies. Community policies or something like that. Yeah.
And you said that there's an actual issue going on right now with that.
Yeah, apparently they're incorrectly tagging a lot of posts as spam, especially if you're attaching a link to that post to an external site, which you were doing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll have it resolved soon. I mean, you figure it's a big company and people are probably posting quite a lot more than they had been in the prior weeks because of what's going on right now. So that in combination with having to send a lot of people to either work from home or go home sick, they're relying on their AI. And when you only rely on your AI and don't have that human appeal process where a human being can look at a post and say, oh, no, this is fine, let it go through, you're going to run into a lot of these automated issues, which is definitely a pain.
I can, you know, just looking back through my timeline with social media, when social media, I remember when I first got my first iPhone, I think at the 3G, I loved taking pictures.
Sure.
Big into pictures, posting everything, and not really many people were into it. But then, you know, I had my personal social media, and then I had the salon, so I would shove a lot of my salon stuff in my personal Facebook, and then they created pages and allowed us to create a business page, and then we were able to separate them some. And then I really fired a lot of stuff into my salon page, and I think that was a big key to the salon having, you know, a lot of success early. But now, however many years later, you know, I have my Facebook, which I post my personal stuff. I always call it just kind of my life, just documenting my life, so to speak. I try not to mix much business into it. But then I got now the Facebook page for the salon and the podcast, and then we got all the Instagram stuff. It's like, I might need to hire you.
Yeah. When you think about it, I mean, I like to compare it to TV, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't, go to a TV station and start putting your tapes into their decks and saying, okay, play this at this time and this at this time. You let the person at the TV station manage that.
Absolutely.
You want to have some sort of system in place where you're employing somebody that is, you know, a professional in that certain trade.
Yeah.
And they know the best times to post, and they know the best markets to hit. And that's a lot of what my company does is, you know, we're focused on helping small businesses in Sussex County. And all of our businesses are, for the most part, family-owned, fairly small. You know, some of them are two people. And they're so worried about running their business and making sure that they're doing everything on that end right, they don't have the time to worry about advertising on Facebook or making sure their Google ads are working or anything like that. So I just make a habit of checking all their accounts twice a day. You know, beginning of the day, first thing I do when I have my coffee is check everybody's advertising accounts, make sure everything's running smoothly, make sure that there's no anomalies as far as spend or clicks skyrocketing or dropping off a lot. It just helps to have somebody maintaining that.
No, I'm Well, what thing that comes to my mind is how much time I probably waste doing social media that's probably completely ineffective.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, my God, why have I been wasting so much time? Well, and listen, I'm not building a business with social media. Actually, I made probably a month ago, I decided to make a little more. I felt like the salon needed some love, so I started reposting a lot of, not reposting, but trying to take a lot more pictures of hair and products and tying the two together and just giving it a pulse. I used to always say, just give it a little pulse.
Yeah.
I've never really done any ads. I boosted stuff.
Yeah.
What's the difference between boosting and an ad?
So a boosted post is an organic post that you then boost.
Okay, so an organic post. Okay, right.
So
I've done that.
You get that option.
And it says, hey, for $5, we'll put it in front of 655 people.
You're getting a lot of engagement on this post. You know, boost it to get, you know, exactly what you said. And they're presented in a very similar way. When you see them in your feed, they just say sponsored, you know, very, very small next to the top. But when you do an advertising campaign, you can basically run it indefinitely. You say, okay, we're going to put $100 a month into this particular ad campaign. We're going to target these demographics. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You upload your creative, which is, you know, a photo, a video, a series of photos, and then you let it run. You hope for the best. And then the nice thing about that is you can kind of tweak the targeting as time goes on. And Facebook and Google's AI, you know, Facebook advertising is definitely separate from Google in terms of targeting. But their AI starts to learn about who's most likely to click those ads. And starts informing you about, you know, maybe we could target this certain demographic better. And it starts doing that kind of on its own. And it'll target people that it thinks will like or click on those links.
Yeah.
It's really kind of fascinating.
I have no experience with Google other than Googling. Like, people always say, oh, where's your Google? I'm like, I have no.
I love Google.
I don't have any idea. I am completely Google free.
I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier that if a business doesn't have a Facebook page, you know, it's kind of a bad business practice these days. Same thing with Google.
Well, Google me. See if I come up. Google, yeah. Let's do a little Google test. Google anything. Do the salon.
Okay.
See what? Tell me how my evaluate my presence.
I'm Googling. It's David Thomas.
Thomas David Salon.
Okay.
See what happens. Thomas. See if I'm your new client.
Yep. And this is what I always do, too.
Pat, help me, bro. What's going on? How's my footprint?
So, you have a unique name.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the single best thing you can do for your branding is come up with a good name.
Yep.
Like, you've probably heard from these SEO gurus that call you and say, oh, we can help your ranking, blah, blah, blah. They're all full of shit. The best thing you can do is have a unique name. So you're at the top of the page.
Boom.
And this is what we call your Google My Business listing.
Okay.
Right?
I have to put my glasses on for this.
And what I can see that could be improved is it looks like you haven't accessed your Google My Business.
Okay.
So this is auto-generated information. It goes to your website and says, here's their hours, here's their location, here's their phone number. It scrapes your website for
that. It doesn't have any of my hours or anything isn't listed in there?
No, it's listed.
Okay.
It scraped that from your website.
Okay.
Now, what you can do as a business owner or have me do as a contract employee is go in and claim that business.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do then is add your logo, add photos, add offers, add pricing, add specials, you know, add, you can post basically like a Facebook page, but that's going to come up when they search for you.
Okay.
So it makes it more appealing than just this Google Street View that you got, right?
Yeah.
You can post an actual photo of outside of the salon. Below the Google My Business, it's always great to have a Google My Business that's high ranking, which usually when you search the name of your business, that should come up. If you search salon in Sussex County, if your Google My Business shows up, you're doing a really good job, right? That's what the big goal should be.
So I'm doing a good job?
You're doing a good job for your own name,
right?
What we call branding campaigns, right? So next, you have Vagaro, you have Yelp, you have Facebook, but your fourth result is your website. So I see some improvements with your title. So right here, it's scraping from your code.
Okay.
And it just says Thomas-David-Salon:home. What we'd really want to do is go into the title tags and have it say something like, Milton, Delaware Salon, Thomas David Salon, or something more professional looking than lowercase letters,
:home.
Now, if you really want the top of the page, what you would do is pay for an ad. And those are the top results that you see, right?
What is the very top results?
There are none, because it's your name. If I Google salon near me.
Salons near me, yeah, do that.
I've been having this issue. I was in D.C. two weekends ago, so it keeps thinking I'm in D.C.
Oh, geez.
So I don't think Illusions Hair Salon and Spa.
No. Well, you know, the funny thing is that I have done nothing. All I've done is just worked hard and tried to do a good job. And sometimes I feel like that if you do a good job, I know that because, you know, if you put enough money at something and if you throw enough money at something, you can make an appearance like you're better.
Sure.
Yelp. I get a ton of Yelp. But, oh, my God, you have great reviews on Yelp. I never even signed up.
Yeah.
They signed me up. And then Yelp created the account. Yep. I won't even talk to them. I don't have anything against them. I don't want to get into it, you know?
I see a lot of small business owners get caught in the trap of what, like, I call aggregator sites.
Yep.
Like, maybe there's a salons.com that ranks the top best salons in your area. And then you can pay to be a sponsored salon on that website.
Right.
Same thing with like Home Advisor, House, Hotels.com. You know, there's all these aggregator sites that just take money from small businesses.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned Home Advisor. I actually just hired some people to move a couch for me. And I called this guy and he's like, I might be able to do it. Call me back in, 15 minutes. And I go, all right. And then I called another guy I called a number and it was Home Advisor. They put me to somebody. And then I was like, I already told this guy that I would do it if he was going to be able to do it. So let me hear from him, yada, yada, yada. He was able to do it. The guy told me that if Home Advisor calls you, they automatically take the money whether you get the job or not.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I really don't care for those sites. I think that the best way to find a business that you want to do business with is obviously a friend's recommendation.
Yep.
And
word of mouth. It's huge. That is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
You know, treat people correctly. If you make a mistake, if something doesn't work out, fix it.
Yep.
Be kind.
Yep.
You know, there was a restaurant that was down here and the guy, he made decent food, but he wanted to pick a fight with everybody that criticized him.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
And he ruined it. And, you know, there was zero humility, and that doesn't take long for that word to spread.
Yeah.
That there were guys like that.
So a lot of my clients, when they come to me, they're not doing anything either. And they say, look, word of mouth has been great for us. The issue is that eventually that plateaus, and if you're not extending that tree of people to refer other people, you're going to become stagnant. Especially with companies that offer a service one time, you know, you only need tile in your bathroom,
right?
You know, maybe every 10 years. So that's what we kind of step in and say, when you're advertising on Facebook and Google and beyond, you're able to reach new clientele that's going to interact with your business, do business with you, give you a call, and people see the clicks go up within a month. I mean, it's pretty instantaneous.
Yeah, there is, Yeah. It's it's like I said, it's one of those things you know, word of mouth, you know, sometimes overshadows the internet, but at the same time, if you don't do both, you kind of have to have your foot in both, or it almost you fall short a little bit.
Yep.
What's the term? The better of two evils, or I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So let's say I want to try to figure out how to, you know, my podcasting, the network is really what I'm interested in.
Sure.
I'm doing an ad with Visit Rehoboth. We're creating a new website. You know, this is all stuff that I want to figure out, or social media is how I can do this instead of just tagging everything.
Yeah.
So how would you suggest, you know, something like that, where it's not about buying something. I just want people to listen.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
we're not selling anything.
And that's part of the complicated, you know, strategy with a business that isn't selling anything.
Well, let's type in Google Rehoboth Social Podcast. See what we're doing there. The Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. And like you said, it does have kind of a unique name. So,
yeah, I assume it's going to show up pretty high.
We're luckily we're not in a huge podcast battle either.
The wars of 2020.
The podcast wars.
So, yeah, your Facebook comes up. Your Audio Boom, your Apple. But do you have a website?
No, we're getting one made.
Okay, so
I do have a website. It's actually www.rehosocialpodcast.
So that's good. So yeah, when you Google the name of your business, you should show up.
Yeah.
Right. The goal then is to show up for things like local podcasts.
Yes.
That's where you really have to get into SEO and keyword targeting.
Okay.
Hopefully your name, and we always do this with our new campaigns, is create what's called a branding campaign. And we'll put like $2 a day into the keyword Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. That way when somebody Googles it, it's guaranteed showing up as an ad for your own name. With bigger businesses like Pepsi, Coca-Cola, they spend, you know, hundreds of thousands a year on this because Coca-Cola is bidding on Pepsi, Pepsi's bidding on Coca-Cola, right? With something smaller, you probably don't have competitors bidding on your brand name. You'll always beat them out because it's your name, it's on your website, it's in your URL. But it's best practice to have a branding campaign. Then you get into keyword targeting, right? So local podcasts, small business podcasts, music podcasts near me, those type of terms. It really takes a lot of research to figure out exactly what you want to target, right?
Right.
I think for a podcast, the better strategy is an impression-based campaign, which is more Facebook ads, right?
Mm-hmm.
People probably aren't actively searching for local podcasts.
Right.
Maybe every once in a while. But it's not going to be a common thing for people to look for.
Right.
What you want to do is instead hit people while they're scrolling Facebook, just like you would do with a TV commercial if somebody's watching TV. You see it in the feed, you know, 8 local podcasts for everybody, or, you know, some sort of call to action to say, hey, come listen to our podcast, come join our network, come like our pages, become a listener, right?
Right.
And then what we would do on the targeting end of that is say, okay, I want to target people that have interest in podcasts already. I want to target people that listen to NPR. I want to target people that like Malcolm Gladwell, you know, all these different pages that they already like or interests that they already have. Maybe, you know, all my listeners graduated college, or all my listeners like to surf. You know, you can really get nitty gritty with each targeting component because Facebook knows a lot about everybody, right?
Yeah.
It knows that you like to run. So if you had a running podcast, I could say, I want to target everybody in Sussex County that likes to run.
Well, that, yeah. Well, you know, and I don't know if you ever, if you always want to have a lot of people look at your stuff, but like with podcasting, you know, we're almost up to 10,000 listeners.
Cool.
But in the big, you know, in the big picture, that's not a lot. But we're also really just targeting Rehoboth. You know, this is kind of, you know, one small business helping another. This is about, you know, your business. You're pretty much in Rehoboth. I mean, this is really about trying to provide things to listen to that are people that are in Rehoboth would be interested in. So sure. For 10,000 listeners in our area, to me, that's decent.
Yeah.
In the world, it's not. You know, Audio Boom, who we do, where we post all of our podcasts, are like, listen, if you get 10,000 listens per episode, we'll help you make some money. I'm like, per episode?
Yeah.
How about all together?
I mean, you gotta pick your battles, right?
Right.
This is a local focused podcast, and we live in a resort area.
I mean, well, and the reason I mention that is because, you know, as a guy that is trying to just still have fun and not become discouraged, I have to remind myself that, you know, this is about really the area that we're in. This isn't about, you know, we're not promoting your business for people to, even though if people are in San Diego and want to hire you, that you are available.
But, I am available.
But, you know, we're probably focusing more or less on Rehoboth and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, which I think is, you have to determine your mission, right? You have to determine your goals. You have to determine what it is that you measure as a success. And I think that having a good local following is a success. You know, for me, if I only get 3 likes on my posts, but 3 of them are local business owners, that's a win. You
that's
know?
Right. Let's talk about success. What is a successful, is it a campaign? Would you call it a campaign? Or let's say I hire you, what would be kind of a success story?
So I, you know, I've been doing this for over a year now, and I still like can't help but smile when a client calls me and says, hey, we just got, you know, a customer to call us and they said that they saw an ad on Facebook. Like that lets me know that it's working. I can see the numbers on the back end. I can see how many people are clicking, how many people are liking. But when I have a client call me and say, hey, we've had, you know, 10 more phone calls than normal this month, that's awesome. That's a success.
Yeah.
When I'm helping them, I think, and they notice what's going on and they notice that it's a benefit, I consider that a success.
How do you manage, like, if you, let's say I was going to have you help me. Now, what do I turn all my social media over to you?
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, you get, so if I turn it all over to you, does that eliminate me from getting involved?
No. So I have a business manager account.
Mm-hmm.
So Overview Creative Services has a business manager account. And then under that business manager account, I manage 8 different, maybe more probably right now, pages. So you really would just give me admin access in addition to your admin access.
So, because I've done that before. In fact, I do it now. The stylists that work for me, they all have, is that what it is, admin? No, they, I think they have
editor.
Editors.
So editor access, you can post, you can, you know,
share pictures.
Do that type of thing. Admin is what I would require for being able to run ads.
Now, does Instagram allow you to do that?
So since they're connected, when I go to create an ad, I select placements.
Okay.
And in those placements are everything from just an ad in your feed to Messenger ads. You might have gotten one of those before, all the way to Instagram. Instagram story ads, Instagram ads. Typically, you would just kind of let everything run. I don't usually do that for all my clients. I don't think that all ads are effective for all clients, but for most clients, Instagram ads are pretty effective.
Yeah. Well, I feel like there's been a lot of ads lately. I'm like kind of feeling this kind of like, uh-oh, we got an opportunity to do some ads here. And Instagram, which was, I don't even know what Instagram was. I mean, it was just a thing. And then it's become pretty powerful. And now I feel like it's a lot of ads. And Instagram to me is a little shady because people can post stuff. What's the latest one? Health aware. just something about mental health. You know, it's like hashtag mental health. I'm like, okay, this chick is in a bikini. Why am I? Yeah, I'm now yeah. mentally unhealthy.
Sure. And I think that, you know, a lot of this kind of word of mouth market, right,
mm-hmm.
has been damaged by the influencer culture.
Right.
Because where we used to say, you know, if somebody says something's good, I'm going to look into it. Now when somebody says something's good on Instagram, we're saying, how much do they pay you? Right.
Right.
And so I do think that that's had a effect on that word of mouth market and has brought things way more locally. You're not going to trust, you know, some famous celebrity that says, oh, this salon was amazing. You're going to trust, you know, your friend that went there and said, hey, it was a really good experience.
Yeah, influencers are interesting. I mean, it is weird. And I don't know, it's a little exhausting.
Yes, yeah, it's annoying.
I started the Broken Stoked podcast Instagram page, and I just follow everybody. I mean, I don't know what the fuck to do. I'm just trying to put my name, just trying to get some people out there, and all of a sudden I've got all sorts of garbage in my Instagram feed.
Yeah, it's overwhelming, and I think that the biggest focus for businesses and, you know, people that want to create a successful branding campaign or impression-based campaign is really focus on your local market. Mm. I mean, you can follow Kim Kardashian and tag her in all your posts, but when it comes down to it, Joe from down the block knows 15 people in your market. And if he has a good experience with you, he's going to tell 15 people, which turns into, you know, 15 additional people for each person.
Well, like you said, when it comes back down, right back down to it, it's just doing a good job.
Absolutely. Doing a good job. But there is, I think, a requirement to be, quote unquote, cool, right?
Yep.
You have to be trendy in a lot of ways. You have to be aesthetically pleasing in a lot of ways. You have to not only offer a good product, but offer a product that people want to share to look cool.
Well, and they want to feel cool because they want to feel part of.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's not really, it's tough, you know, to be cool so that people can feel cool because they know you because you're cool.
Yeah.
Or it's associated with you.
I think it's a fine line to walk. It's, you got to balance being cool, but also just doing a really good job.
Well, listen, if you can kind of do it nicely, I mean, I think sometimes that is the cool part.
Yeah.
You know, if you're
a lot of times not being cool is cool.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hashtag that.
Hashtag not being cool
is cool.
Is very cool.
Is very, yeah. Oh, very,
very cool.
Cool.
I, you know,
what do you think it's going to be like in 10 years? Business
in 10 years.
And that's very broad, but I mean, you know, kind of this small town business kind of life.
So I think we're in an interesting point in time right now where, I wouldn't say it's easy to start a small business right now, but I do think that it's easier than it probably was 10, 20 years ago, because there are these ways for a business owner to promote themselves without spending a ton of money, right? So I think that's part of it. But also, you have these huge conglomerate corporations that are buying up all these other companies. And if that keeps going, I think there's going to be a reaction to bring things locally for a lot of people.
Right.
You know, I never go to Walmart. I try and never shop on Amazon. We live in such a cool area with all these different local stores.
Yeah.
You can really get whatever you need, especially with restaurants. I mean, why would you ever go to a chain restaurant?
Right.
If you can support somebody that lives around the corner, go buy their food.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, some of these, I mean, you know, we have two small restaurants that I definitely love. One of the problems with the area that we live in is some of these, you know, and this, I call this coronavirus really the virus of gluttony. You know, it's really attacking all this, you know, a lot of the stuff that used to be like a privilege. You know, eating out was a privilege. You didn't do it so much, you know. You know, you traveled. You know, people travel here, so we need places to eat out. But now that the restaurants struggle and so much in the fall that they become they give such good deals that so many people eat out now. They would rather just eat out than cook at home. So a lot of this stuff that's going on is attacking this kind of, I guess, gluttonous kind of life, you know, more and more and more. And especially when, and then all of a sudden everything happens and how do people react? They buy everything up. I mean, there's just more gluttonous behavior.
Yeah.
And, I think it's almost like a little bit of a reset to kind of what things used to be. You know, if you ask my grandparents, you know, they maybe ate out once, very, very rare.
Sure.
You know, if they were traveling or something.
Yeah.
Or flying, you know, flying used to be a huge privilege. And it's a real reminder and I just read it, Amazon's not doing any shipping.
Yeah, they're only doing like pharmaceuticals and.
And I do agree with you. I'm the same way. I try not to, I don't hate Walmart as much. They came in, they took all the other stores away. It's kind of what we have. But I try not to buy as much stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, it's, it's just. It hurts.
You know what Amazon is? Amazon is a delivery business.
Oh, yeah.
That's really, I always consider them as like a big, giant Walmart in the sky, but really they're a delivery business.
They're logistics.
Yeah. Because I have three kids, and they all went, well, we got them all each a lava lamp. So I ordered three different lava lamps. All three lava lamps came, and all three lava lamps came from different places.
Interesting.
They didn't come from Amazon, wherever Amazon is. It just came through Amazon. So they're just great at delivering stuff.
Yeah, they really are.
But unfortunately, what I was going to say is that we kind of live in a place where everything is so expensive here.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think, I'm one of very few of people my age that grew up here, that stayed here.
Yeah.
And my hope for this area is that when I'm in my 30s, it's kind of not regressed, but kind of gotten back to a point where, young families can thrive here. I mean, with all the, and, I'm thankful for a lot of the development here, but with all these people coming from out of town with a lot of money and they're older, it's hard to, be a 25-year-old here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to, find culture. It's hard to find a restaurant where you can go and eat, just a good meal for not, $30. And I love all of our local restaurants, but it would be nice to just have, like, a dive bar to go into.
Yeah, they have them.
Yeah, they have them.
You want to drag your kids to it? Because
nah.
The word dive really... Well, and that's the other thing. I have three kids. You don't have any kids yet. Hopefully you have some, because it's definitely the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
But, we go eat at restaurants and we take our kids and, they make them eat this kids menu.
Yeah.
We take them out and we make them eat kind of crappy food.
Yeah.
I love cooking. I'm a big time cook. I always say I'm a one meal chef and I have one sitting and it's my family. and a lot of sauces and stuff. But I like cooking fresh food. And they say that, I've heard it. I believe it. There's, when I prepare something, I don't hunt it.
Yeah.
I'm not a hunter.
Sure.
But I do everything I can up until hunt it. But I buy, we'll buy big loins and I cut it up and freeze it. And but when I prepare it, I feel like the love from that passed into my family. It has more, not that I, I don't know there's any proof of it, but I just feel better about eating the food when I prepare it.
Absolutely.
Because I go to these restaurants, I can't afford, the great things they serve, I can't afford. I have to get can I get the hamburger with no bun? And can we share the fries? it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
It's pretty pathetic. So,
I guess I'm kind of in the opposite boat being a single 25-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
I eat out a ton, every day probably. It's terrible. You see my coffee rise up. That's like my unofficial office. I'm there every day. But I try and only go to places where I, like, they know me. Yep. And, like, I feel like a regular. And I think it's almost like having you cook for me, you know? It's like, I know these people. I love these people. I'm giving them business by being here.
Yep.
I'm going to go out and go to my friends, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, listen, if I was younger, I'd probably be doing the same thing.
Cooking for one is tough, I must say.
Well, not really. I mean,
it depends on what you're making, I guess.
You have to evolve. Your life, you know, you'll at 25, you'll kind of go through it. You'll spend money doing what you do. You'll change, you know, whether
sure.
you get in a relationship or end up having a child or two children. I mean, I'll check back in with you in 10 years and see where you're at. Because
yeah.
you may have a couple kids. You'll be like, I don't know, I was wasting a lot of money doing that. because I, you know, that's the other thing. I feel like a lot of these restaurants now, since they're struggling, now they're people saying support local.
Yeah.
Like I'm supposed to have to go buy dinner there now because I've.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
So I heard someone told me Sodell, they just closed.
Did they?
Let go of all their employees. I guess, I don't know. I'm not sure the official word, but I would imagine that that would allow them to maybe collect an unemployment, unless they were trying to keep them on, and that would stop that process from happening, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they can just say, listen, go get unemployment for a couple weeks or a couple months, and we'll start up again.
Interesting.
No, it's tough.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that so many people in our area are reliant on restaurants being open.
Yep.
I mean, that kind of goes to my point earlier, is that this area needs more industry that is tailored towards young people. I mean, it needs different work opportunities for people under the age of 40. Right now, you know, there's obviously the hospitality industry. There's a couple, you know, companies that you could work for. There's a couple medical companies you could work for, hospitals, I mean. But other than that, what do you do in this area in a lot of ways?
Right. That's why people, I always say, if you were born here, you move away. People that weren't born here are the ones that move here.
Yeah.
Like my dad was born in Selbyville, and he joined the military to get the hell out of here. And then now, you know, I move here.
Yeah.
I do. I love this area. I mean, it's you know, I always tell my kids we live in a bubble, you know.
We do.
I was talking to a client yesterday, and he was telling me how Maryland, the public schools are just so, according to him, bad.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, there's MS-13 and all these gangs up there. I was like, oh, geez.
Wow.
I was like, I'm glad we live down here.
I was thinking, I was born here, and I left for, you know, 4 years for college, came back. I was thinking yesterday, I went on a bike ride, and I was down by what's going to be the new lighthouse in Dewey, and just looked out on the bay and beautiful sunset.
Mm.
I was like, if there is a zombie apocalypse, you know, and everybody dies, I wouldn't mind being completely alone in this area. I mean,
right.
It's gorgeous. It's
yep.
We're so lucky to have just this natural beauty, all this protected land. The bike trail or walking trail or whatever you want to call it.
Junction Breakwater Trail.
Gordon's Pond.
Gordon's Pond.
It's just, we have all these amazing amenities that are just built into our community. And that's a lot to do with the local businesses as well. I mean, we have these great restaurants. I was visiting a friend in Arlington, Virginia a couple weekends ago, and it's just chain restaurant after chain restaurant after chain restaurant. And you're like, do I really want to... Mm. Go to Chipotle or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I agree. We're blessed. I love it. I ran this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Sunrise. It was just freaking spectacular. I call it sunrise season right now.
Oh, yeah.
6:30. If you want to see a great sunrise, be out in front of somewhere around 6:30.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. Love it. Well, do you want to mention any of your clients? I don't know if is that... Can we do that? I mean,
sure.
Some of the people that you're working with, have you seen any? Have they seen any great results?
So my oldest client, not oldest by age, but the ones that I've had for the longest time, HydroShield, Delmarva, the Batemans, Denise and John Bateman run that company. I went to high school with their sons, Mike and Ben. But they basically, what they do is they're a franchise, but they seal countertops and tile and grout, glass, shower glass, and it creates this stain resistant seal on the surfaces. And it also makes it really easy to clean. Water kind of just beads up on whatever it's spilt on. Same with wine on, like, countertops and stuff like that.
Granite, marble, and all that stuff.
All that stuff you should be sealing, right? But they weren't doing anything when I first contacted them. Well, let me re-say that. They had set up with somebody these smart campaigns on Google, and they were just hemorrhaging money from these smart campaigns that somebody set up. And I did a year-to-year comparison the other day because they've been with me for a year. And I compared February, where they were still with this person running their campaigns, to February this year. And their CPC, which we call cost per click, had gone down by like $3. So they went from spending $3.50 or something like that on every single click on their ad to, I think they're around like 60 cents now. Their impressions, which is how many people see their ad, went way up. Their clicks went way up, but their cost overall is down. And that's really a success story, because you're going to have Joe Schmo calling you and saying, hey, we can really improve your clicks and blah, 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 and who knows where they're located or whatever. And you might say, okay, I'll pay you to do this. But since they don't have that local interest, since they're not really caring about their local reputation, since they're not caring about really helping small businesses, they're just going to put it on autopilot and hope for the best.
Right.
So I consider that a huge success story.
Yeah. Sometimes you do something, you're like, okay, I've done it. I don't have to think about it. Like, it's,
you can't really, I mean, as much as it would be nice to do that with ads and ad campaigns, like I said, I check all my accounts twice a day. I mean, right. You got to pay attention to it. You got to be tweaking things. Otherwise, it's kind of like servicing a car, right? I mean, you got to keep changing the oil. You got to check the tire pressure. Sometimes you got to replace, you know, major parts. You got to say, okay, well, this ad isn't working. Let's put an ad in that will work.
How do you take someone that's like a 20-something or a 30-something-year-old and have a conversation with, and take that same conversation with somebody that's like 50 or 60, that, like me, you know, who's like, I can do it. I just got word of mouth.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you explain that? I mean, it's because a lot of, especially the older, like my father, forget about it. He don't know anything. It's all snake oil.
So it's super ironic, but all my business is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Everybody that comes to me is recommended by somebody else. I do some advertising, but...
That's funny. So you
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's completely ironic. But my thought process is I only want people that are ready to go. I don't want to go out and sell to... I don't want to go door knocking and saying, hey, this could really help you. That annoys people. Mm. I want businesses to come to me and say, hey, we heard you did a great job for this person. We're ready to pay you to do the same for us. I find that that's the best way to do things, because if a business owner isn't ready to make that leap, it's like pulling teeth.
Right.
So I take somebody, I sit them down for 2 hours, something like that. We have a consultation. I talk to them about the business that they have currently, the business that they want more of, their typical audience, what they're doing currently is in terms of advertising. We have, you know, just this big conversation about what their goals are, and then I kind of just go from there. And usually at that point, they're ready for that to start working for them.
Do you have a website?
I do.
What is it?
Overviewcreative.com.
www.overviewcreative.com.
Yeah.
If you don't say the WWW, I'm thinking maybe you don't need it anymore.
You don't.
You don't need it anymore.
You don't need it.
That tells you how damn old I am.
World Wide Web.
I was doing a podcast for this Race for Warriors, and I'm like, how do you put raceforwarriors.org? I'm like, where's the WWW?
Yeah, you don't need them.
You don't need them.
Unfortunately.
Overviewcreative.com.
Yep, just overviewcreative.com.
And you have a Facebook page?
I do.
Instagram?
I do.
All the same titles.
I got all the stuff. I got all the things. Overview Creative. If it's not Overview Creative, it's Overview Creative Services. You didn't ask about the name. I can tell you about the name.
Tell me about the name.
Let me tell you about the name.
Thank you, because that's a good point. I didn't want to.
Well, because a lot of people don't. Do you know? Do you get what that looks like?
I'm assuming it's a space helmet.
Okay, good. Because I've heard from a few people that they look at it and they're like, "What is it?"
This looks like a space helmet from when I was a kid.
Yeah,
from 50. And a NASA space helmet.
That's kind of the idea, right?
Okay, yeah.
So I love space. I think it's really cool. I have an astronaut tattoo.
Nice.
I've just always been kind of into sci-fi and space and stuff like that. But in college, I did a lot of... have you ever played Wikipedia Roulette?
No, I have never.
You just go random article, random article, random article, right? And you find something that might interest you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds really stupid.
Nerdy.
When I say it. But so I stumbled on something called the overview effect, which is this thing that astronauts get when they look down on the Earth for the first time. Because everything's just in this little ball. Everybody yeah. that's living, everybody that's ever died, all living on this little ball.
Yeah.
So I said when I started this that that was how I wanted to approach marketing is we look at the big picture. We say, okay, your logo, your video, your photos, your social media presence, everything should be fit here. Because a lot of businesses, and maybe you included, have gone to a graphic designer over here, a photographer over here, you know, videographer over here, and then it was on you to pull that all together and make it make sense.
Yeah.
What we do is try and connect all those different pieces and make a cohesive marketing strategy for our clients.
Do you, I mean, just, I'm actually asking for myself. I mean, what's it cost? Can you talk a little, maybe just like, so nobody's got any money. We're all broke. So how does that work?
So I don't think I'm, you know, I'm not cheap necessarily.
Right.
I charge all my clients the same amount. I charge them all $1,200 a month.
Okay.
And that's as their digital marketing, I call it digital marketing mission control, right? So there's no limit on consultation time. There's no limit on how many requests you make for ads and stuff like that. I want people to really think of me as their marketing director. Right.
Right.
If you were to pay a marketing director, it would be, you know, three times that because you're paying them a salary, you're paying them benefits, you're paying good money. And then in addition to that, we're charging, obviously, for the ad spend that each client's putting in.
Right.
So really, that fee is for, I have a lot of different metric data connectors that I create these really nice data reports that I can give to clients, and it's visual. They get one every month, and they can easily see, okay, I can see this going up, and they can ask me questions about certain keywords and stuff like that.
Aren't you doing Urban Float?
I talked to Carlos a while back.
Yeah, I thought he said you were gonna do it.
I gotta talk to him again. Like I said, it's tough for me to, right now, stay on top of people and say, hey, remember, come do business with us, because I'm, and this sounds cheesy, but I'm really dedicated to making sure that current clients are getting the best possible service.
Absolutely.
It's important for me to not focus too much on the sales side of things when I can be focusing on the customer service for the people I already have.
Nice. Well, listen, I love it. I love it, and I need to figure out how to make some money so I can hire you. Because I want to figure, I would love to. The podcast needs some love.
Yeah, and that's the monthly fee. obviously, but we do, you know, one-time consultations and setups and stuff like that. It's really the monthly program is really what our bread and butter focus is, because I feel like a sustained relationship is always the best for the business owner. But we do setups so we can set up everybody's ads and they can take them over.
Right.
But like I said, the autopilot strategy sometimes isn't the best.
Yeah. Well, listen, you shined a lot of light on it for me today. I mean, that was what, you know, I love having people on. You and I have done several podcasts, and I always enjoy you, but I want to learn about this stuff. Because it's, you know, it's an intimidating topic.
Yeah.
And it's so broad with so many options. You're like, oh,
and
you just want to put your head in the sand.
Always changing. You know, I've actually considered doing a podcast, but you know, I don't know how much interest people would have in hearing about PPC strategy and all that stuff. But I'm happy to talk about it anytime.
Dude, you can come do a podcast. We can negotiate something.
All right.
Figure out something.
Trade and barter some stuff.
That's my middle name. I do think that there are people that are out there that would listen to that stuff. I do, you know, I don't know if you can give away all your secrets in a podcast. I mean, it's the good thing that you have going for you, because it's still required. Like, you could tell me everything to do,
and you still wouldn't be.
I would still have to do it. And that's the shit that it gets become overwhelming. And so, you know, you could tell everybody how to do everything, but they still have to do it and manage it. And that's...
I really don't mind giving away secrets. Like, I have friends that also do this type of thing for businesses. They don't necessarily run their own business, but we talk about it like it's a sports team sometimes. Like, it's super nerdy.
Right.
You know, we'll be like, oh, did you see that they changed the targeting demographics for this certain industry? And blah, 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 blah. It's really... not cool.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I learned a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
I appreciate it.
I know you're going to do great.
I'm gonna leave stickers and cards here.
Absolutely.
So next business owner you have,
give them a sticker.
Let them know. Let them know.
Absolutely. Well, we'll post all this stuff on Facebook and
that'd be excellent.
Instagram and everywhere. And, you know, we'll post a podcast and try to teach some people some stuff and try to get your name out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Pat. Well, listen, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You as well.
And we'll catch up again.
Yep.
All right,
be safe.
Later. Right. Bye-bye.